Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this February the 15th on the West Coast, now February the 16th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome everyone also listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on BlogTalkRadio.com. Well, it's that time of the week. When we bring the person who's now our regular Monday night guest, he is a naturopathic doctor. He's also an excellent researcher, author, and talk show host in his own right. He hosts his own show on Republic Broadcasting Network, a show called The Story Behind the Story, and he's here to visit with us tonight on Evident Footprints, my good friend, Dr. A. True Ott. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Well, good to hear your voice again, and thank you, Don. And, of course, tomorrow we'll be getting even. You'll be on my show tomorrow on Republic Broadcasting. Got some good topics.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Really looking forward to it. It's been a while, so. You have been a busy man lately, and I suppose I'll let you take the conversation where you like to go tonight, primarily because I know that you've been talking about the neuro-linguistic programming that's going on electronically, HARP and its influence on a number of world events, as well as the general mind control that's going on, sweeping people under the rug as we speak. And you've had quite a few interesting guests on your show. I don't know, are you burned out on those topics or
No, in fact I just got home from Salt Lake, where I did a meeting tonight and went over some more of this in detail with a group of concerned people. And I'm telling you, it's something that we can never stop talking about until we get full disclosure. And I say we, not only the people in America, but quite literally the whole world needs to be appraised of what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And it ties into so much of the things that we've been discussing, Don, not only on the air, but privately, concerning the this epidemic or pandemic, as they want to call it, and the reasons behind it. I mean, the technology, no doubt, is there to manufacture these designer viruses to basically get the people in line to take the shots, which we now have conclusive proof that they are laced with these nano chip particles. There's very little doubt in my mind, Don, that these nanochip particles migrate into specific areas of the brain's neurons, and there they are basically waiting the commands from the central computers. That sounds so incredibly wild and bizarre, but there's no doubt that technology exists. There's no doubt that patents have been proved on. There's no doubt that the testing has all been done, and there's no doubt that there are many millions and millions of people now in America and untold millions worldwide that are now under these neuron chips. That's the reality. Now the question becomes, will they be allowed to complete the final phase, and that's the completion of their new generation computers that are going on, planned to be online in 2012 to basically start their complete monitoring and programming.
Mm-hmm. Now, last week on a couple of shows, I had the opportunity to introduce a website and the material that they had on this website. First of all, the site's called theindustryexposed.com. And basically, it's quite good video and music presentation of what is going on in the music business by the major record labels and their key artists. There seems to be this obsession with turning all of these divas that they have in the pop music culture, the Madonnas and the, I don't consider them divas. In terms of what a diva really is, it's what they like to call them in the business. But you have like Madonna, Britney Spears, Beyonce, and others who are doing rap or hip hop music or combinations thereof. And there's this propensity to dress the women up like robots and have them sort of break out of the shell, the robotic shell, while all the background dancers are moving like robots, and they're robotizing the sounds and the music and the special effects, as if you have these two converging realities where the reality of the human is becoming more machine-like and machines are becoming more human-like.
Uh-huh.
And this fits exactly in with what you're talking about. And I've done two shows on this last week, and I'm probably going to do a few more. In fact, I should do one with you. I think you'd be fascinated by this.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely how they're taking control of the kids. Now, they had the NBA All-Star game last night, and I forced myself to turn the TV on at halftime or around what I thought halftime was going to be so I could catch the entertainment, and wouldn't you know, they had Alicia Keys on, and I have to tell you, listening to her sing and perform live, I've never heard anyone sing so out of tune through a 15 or 20 minute performance in my life, ever. It was so poorly performed. Now, there are a lot of people who are going to say, oh, she was great. They're not hearing what I heard. Literally a semitone flat through the whole performance. Even when she sat down and played the piano, she sang out of tune with the piano. And I thought, it's a difficult thing to do unless you really can't hear yourself. But the background singers were singing in tune, even though they made them sound like robots and they acted sort of robotic. She was just awful. But I guess we're supposed to just accept this as the degradation of the art form. I understand she's quite talented. She's written a lot of songs that have been very popular, but I'll tell you, she's not someone to perform live. Not on the basis of what I heard last night. So we're being subjected to these extremes, is what I noticed, that music is no longer an art form. It's just something to fill some void or some dead space. And the honor and the prestige of the art form and the originality and the creativity is just about void, I would say. So it's serving a whole other purpose. In fact, the performance, in my estimation, was more mind control than anything. So go ahead. I don't mean to hog.
No, I'm interested in that for sure. I was very busy yesterday and last night, so I didn't catch any of that, and I'm glad you noticed that. But you're right. There's definitely a undercurrent, if you will, that is leading us to these robotics more and more. There's I don't know the exact website now, but it's a report on what's really going on behind the scenes at the CIA and NSA, and they're their own little, inter-reporting tells us that, again, utilizing the nanotechnology, ability to build something, there's actually reports now of a humanoid organism that's been created, again, out of the nanoparticle structures, that is forever, they say it's the skin and tissue all looks human, but it's designed to literally live forever and basically have superhuman qualities. And there's it shows that even though it looks human and that it can basically transform itself into different substances based on the pulsing of the nanoparticles, and that you can imagine this, if it's wounded or hurt or critically injured, it repairs itself immediately. But the article went on to say, Don, that it's not, have no fear if this computer programming ever short circuits out, there's a kill switch which will kill the organism right away. Well, if it short circuits and goes crazy, how would it, what guarantees is it going to respond to the master override computer? And as the story unwinds, I'm just thinking of that the figure in Terminator 2 movie, the police officer that just falls, can just reassemble itself. It's literally that type of technology that's now on the threshold.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I was doing some research, a good year and a half ago, I was actually tracking some things that appeared to be like defense contract type stuff,
uh-huh.
And I ended up on some websites in England, and I saw that there was a lot of research going on over there where they were. It's hard to describe it, but it was sort of predictive, a synthesis, if you want to call it that, or predictive computing, where they're mimicking, let's say, behavior patterns in humans, trying to turn those into machines so that they can use the machine version to control people's emotions and thoughts.
Right.
Is pretty out there, but I think it fits exactly with what you're talking about going on there in Utah.
Well, again, yes, we've interviewed last Friday a CIA agent, a female with assassin programming. Her alters are such that she knows she's been involved in some contracts. Okay. She knows that her conscience mind really kind of abhors guns and weaponry, but her assassin alter is an expert in every way. It's amazing. It's like, again, I hate to keep referencing the same movie, but it reminds me so much of the Terminator 2 character of Sandra Connor. The mother of the boy that's targeted, and how she gets out of the psych ward and suddenly dons her military garb and knows all about the weaponry. It's that type of an alter, okay? And we learned that from her, some of her downloads of the end times programming, that there's a very real program, Don, to create worldwide chaos from these programmed individuals. Now, there's estimates in some books and experts that I've interviewed that they estimate there's as many as 2 million or more of these so-called chosen ones ready to do their programming in the very near future. And it's just funny that the guidelines or the goals of completion of the NSA data center is for the summer of 2012. Right about the same time that these chosen ones are also saying that it's some major chaos is ready to break loose. Now, as I talk to the people tonight in my meeting, the ideas come up. Well, could this NSA, CIA really be that inhuman and cold to want to control people in this way and in a massive way? Well, there's a new article actually written by a researcher named William Engdahl. I don't know if you've heard of him or that, F. William Engdahl.
Yes, I have, yeah.
Well, he's come out and he's just reporting on this new book that's out. And to me, it's a huge story that I think should be right in the mainstream press. But back in 1951, in a southern French village named Pont Saint-Esprit, there was this outbreak. Many of the villagers became very sick, and virtually all of them, really. It's a small village. Roughly 500 villagers went absolutely psycho. They went nuts, literally. They just had the most bizarre behavior. The British Medical Journal was drawn into to find out what was causing it. They dubbed it an outbreak of poisoning, and they said there was some moldy bread that they all consumed that caused and had these mass craziness and hysteria. And then, lo and behold, Sandoz chemical company, the big master, pharmaceutical arm of Total Inc., the Rockefeller cartel. Total Inc. and Sandoz came into existence following the reparation payments of World War I, and of course Rockefeller was at the receiving end of all those payments, and the Total Inc. and Sandoz became very much in the 1950s. When some of the leaders of this mind control experimentation, Sandoz Labs, is the manufacturer and basically patent holder of LSD. Now, the book explains that now we have some CIA agents who are nearing the end of not only their career but their lifetime. They're getting quite elderly. Actually, came out and did some whistleblowing just recently. Now, the book is called A Terrible Mistake, The Murder of Frank Olson in the CIA's Secret Cold War Experiments. The writer is an investigative journalist by the name of H.P. Albarelli, Jr., okay? Now, as he goes on to explain this book, that the whistleblowers explained to scientists who back in 1951 produced the cover-up explanations, all of them, every one of them worked for the Sandoz Pharmaceutical Company, which of course was the supplier for, remember the Timothy Leary and the MK Ultra programming. The book goes in to explain that this quote mass insanity was a ultra top secret CIA experiment conducted under what's called codenamed Operation Span, SPAN, and that was just a part of a little known CIA project called Project MK Naomi, which is a sub program of the MK Ultra program. And mm-hmm. it's all just been classified as above top secret, ultra top secret. But these whistleblowers go on to explain to this investigative reporter, Don, that and documents have been provided that LSD was put into an aerosol spray and put out into the air, and they just basically wanted to see what the result was with the mass hallucinations that were going on. So the point being, here we have CIA and NSA showing that they have no problem with putting people under their mind control as much as they can, and so we can draw conclusions then that with the technology of these nano chips, again the secrecy surrounding these new data centers, it's very much calling and screaming for a major congressional investigation, I think. The fact that we have Obama and his budget for both for 2009 and for 2010 calling for just many, many billions of dollars into this DOD and healthcare nanotechnology, while at the same time cutting funds to NASA and traditional space programs. Well, yeah, there's something very, very nefarious going on, in my opinion.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Congressional investigations? I don't know. I think.
Well, whatever you want to call them, Justice Department investigation. I mean, something's got to break with this.
Oh yeah. Now you mentioned Sandoz Labs, I guess. Synthesized version of LSD, meaning, let's say, a modified version other than the one developed by the Swiss scientist, I understand was eventually taken to task at Eli Lilly. Does mm-hmm. that ring a bell with you?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that would be Dan Quayle and George H. Scherf.
Papa Bush. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So they used, most likely, I mean, that's my take, is that they used Eli Lilly to produce all that LSD that they were putting out to make people go crazy, like around the Woodstock time and thereafter.
Right.
For a good 7 or 8 years, at least. I wasn't in the country when that got into full gear, but I think they went from that stage to pyramids. So that was a strange time. But then again, they were using other people in these programs on many different levels. Now, there have been numerous accounts of Bush Sr. being involved in these mind control projects virtually all over this country, and not just in underground bases, sometimes on farms in Kentucky or Tennessee, Iowa, Nebraska. It's as though that's all these guys did was just travel around from place to place and programming people exercising their perversions on the children that they were abducting. William F. Buckley at one point was alleged to have been running the MK Ultra program out of Brussels, Belgium. Are you familiar with that at all, his participation?
Yeah. Yes, I've read those, yeah. Yes, in fact, again, all of this experimentation on not only LSD, but these other psychoactive drugs is to, again, see how it affects the brain neuron structures and to basically the end goal of all this is to be able to more effectively create the altered personalities, to implant these controlled alters into these victims and then use them, okay? It's a lot easier, they thought, to use these psychoactive drugs such as LSD or mescaline or the other whole laundry list to see what they could do to create these so-called Manchurian candidates at a later stage of life, say 20, 25 years of age, because it's kind of difficult, Don, to go through many years as a young adolescent, prepubescent child. 6.5 to 8 years of age is when you really need to start doing the trauma-based mind control programs, where they bring the child to literally to a point of near death, typically by submerging them in water, holding them under until they inhale water and begin to basically choke and go into suspended animation. And then they put them over and thump them on the back, pump the water out, and mouth-to-mouth resuscitate them. This is what's happening, and at this point of terror, the point of death, basically, where you're at that threshold, is when these altars are basically splintered and put into this situation. And so it's easier, they reasoned, if we can use the psychoactive drugs to do the same process later on in life. So that's what they were doing with this, the MK Ultra and the LSD and Sandoz. But see, the point I want to make out and bring to the listeners is how exciting is it to these people? It must be like a gigantic wet dream for them to have the nanotechnology doing it so much easier, controlled by computer impulses. They don't have to worry about people having waking memories, because if they start waking up, there's no need for suicide programming, for people coming back and waking up. If people start to remember and figure it out, well, guess what? There's these nanochips have self-destruct capabilities to basically explode as a little puff of bomb in the neurons and cause a brain hemorrhage. So it's a perfect world for them to do this. Now, as I said today in the show, well, is this speculation? Well, somewhat. I'll grant that, because we really don't know what's going on there. It's ultra top secret what's being done in these, what's planned to be done in these new data centers. It's a theory. And I said today to my listeners, well, then if I'm wrong, then you better come clean and show us what's really being done in there, why it's necessary. And I point out that the current NSA facility at Fort Meade, by all insider reports, the supercomputer that's tied into all of the telecommunications networks now, Don, and the satellite technologies that are available at the NSA, they can pretty much monitor every single call made in much of the world now with the telecommunications hubs that they have. If they wanted to, they can zero in on criminals, and the technology is there to do much of the typical surveillance and even the well-known satellite harassments that are going on with these new X-rays. All that's, my point is, that's already working. It surely hasn't exceeded the capacity for spying. So the question is begs to be asked, why are they not only doubling, but 12 times the size and over 12 times the energy consumption in just the Utah location. See, there's got to be something much broader, much bigger, and I submit it has to involve these, the traditional CIA MK Ultra agenda.
Well, it becomes an issue, I think, partially anyway, of submitting to it. You know, push comes to shove. How far do they think they can go with this? this is, it's one thing to say, well, you're going to have to take this vaccine. It's another to do what they're doing. Now these alters who are coming around and waking up, do you think these are acts of divine intervention, or do you think that there are flaws in the way that they're creating these altars, and with the changing of the times, they're actually waking up, let's say?
Well, when you have the intervention of divinity, you know, in the mind and soul of an individual, this what we call the Christ consciousness, well, that's always their wild card that they cannot ever really totally control. Again, it would seem that these nano chips would solve that problem too. It would give them complete and total control that they've been lacking. In the case of the lady that I've interviewed on Friday, and I'm planning on the second follow-up interview this Friday as well, she believes there was an absolute divine intervention on her part. And she can't believe that she didn't fulfill her program, which she readily admits now was to take my family, my wife and kids out, as well as myself.
Well, that's pretty shocking. Now, and I've heard that, but even hearing it again, is she able to provide details about her abductors and her programmers, her handlers?
She will this Friday. Again, mm-hmm. there's no destination point where she's clear. And any multiple like this, to say that they're all, you know, like the little lady on what's the show, Poltergeist, this house is clear, you know, and there's no such thing really in these multiple. It's an ongoing journey. Every day is a battle for them.
Oh, yeah, I remember the line. What is it? Luann, come to the light.
Come to the light. And then she comes in, this house is clean. Well, it really was far from that. As the story went on, it was all hell broke loose later on.
The house was clean, yeah.
Yeah. But
but the basement was a pigsty. And underneath there. Oh, man. This is out and out spiritual warfare. True is how I see it. I was on Drew's show today, and I was talking about a lot of what goes on this international level, going back into history, and how these things were plotted out. And behind the scenes, you had this technology being developed, and it's a lot for people just to grasp that these people aren't Americans. Who snuck into our country and were aided and abetted by those who were responsible for, you know, who had a constitutional duty, who had taken an oath to do what was right for this country. Just hundreds of people on a regular basis committing treason. So, you know, we are beyond the physical concerns of what is going on here. This is absolute spiritual warfare.
No doubt about it, and I think it has ramifications, of course, for other stars, systems, planets, and galaxies. I mean, you can't let this dark evil, triumph over free will, the human soul. You just can't allow it to happen. I cannot emphasize strongly enough the dangers inherent in this. In so many ways, once these nano chips, and again, it's clearly evident that this is coming in the form of these vaccines now, not the serum of the vaccine, as much as it's in the hypodermic needle that's manufactured. Again, look at who manufactures the needles, and you'll find it's Big Pharma and Sandoz Labs, largely. Okay, so it's no difficult task to put these, as much as 100 of these nano chips, again, that measure, you got to just get a handle on the size of these, literally 1/200th the diameter and width of a human hair. So you can actually have as many as 100 of these literally on the head of a pin. Each one, now, the technology is such that the Verichip technologies of transmittal, well, that's comparatively ancient. Trying to compare a Pentium 2 processor with a 1965 IBM, computer that fills a whole room. It's that type of advanced technology, Don, and we're talking 100 or so of these can go into the bloodstream through the vaccine needle, cross the blood-brain barrier, and they're actually like being remote monitored up to different brain neurons in the frontal lobe. So when this is activated, imagine the controlling computer now has the individual that is chipped in this manner. Their eyes become the computer screen visually. The ears becomes the microphone, and they can send and receive information as they need to, and for whatever purpose they want. And as I explained today, again to my listeners, the reality is this is not just for government control against terrorism. It's there's strong evidence to suggest that the NSA is making this technology available to corporate clients and making a lot of money on this procedure. How much would a business executive want to pay to know what's going on at this top competitor in the boardroom? Well, if he can get the information from one of these nano-chipped individuals and tie in, the highest bidder can give the selling intelligence of industrial espionage. I mean, Don, this is what I see is really happening with this.
Yeah, it sounds like it's all doomed to one big failure in the end, though. I mean, you can only gather so much information, and then there's no more information to gather.
And then it's okay. Well, then there's a gap. So they've outlived their usefulness. Well, there you go. Those that are disabled now or refuse to get this incredible performance-enhancing technology, well, there's just no room for you in the end. Sorry, but you've got to go. So, bam, and there's the euthanasia programs. See, all of this is an extension of the Nazi Germany philosophy. And make no mistake, the Nazis and the eugenics program liquidated many, many hundreds of thousands of undesirable people with low IQs, people with mental handicaps of all kinds were systematically wiped out. I think this is the true story of the Holocaust. I believe there were a large number of ethnic Jews slaughtered. There's no doubt about that. But the untold story is the literally hundreds of thousands of unfit German society that the Reich needed to liquidate, and I think that's exactly what's happening here as well.
Yeah, to me it sounds it's very draconian. There's no doubt about that. And you said you have to get a handle on it. As small as those things are, why would you want to put a handle on them?
Well, yeah, you see, I've actually gotten some pictures of these these nano chips, and they're incredible in their design, but they're so incredibly tiny, and it really doesn't cost the manufacturers when they're mass produced, you know, in a facility in China primarily, and very, very inexpensive circuitries. Be amazed how inexpensive they are to produce. So the factory lines are open, and they are stockpiling them massively, Don. And there's also evidence and documents that I've seen that the same scale of size, they're also utilizing now what's called nanobots. They're robots that can actually, they're saying this is all wonderful because it's to be used in the medical industry to go in and do a full, relatively non-invasive procedure with these nanobots to go in and take pictures of detailed, you know, things like the heart arteries that need to be repaired or blockages of the arteries and all this. So I guess there's some good technology that will help us in the medical field, but the risks of abuse by a government that we just, as shown by this reporter, has no problem at all trying to control a block of 500 people in a village in France by making, you know, them guinea pigs of a hallucinogenic airborne drug. Mm-hmm. There's no compunction or conscience here.
Now, there's got to be some way that this is being tested beyond, you know, what you're describing, that that they can make a determination of how large of an area per square foot. I think they said, is it 1 million square feet, this facility,
yes,
to be built in Utah?
With 100,000 square foot, you know, control room, right? Over 200 acres, Don, where the current Fort Meade installation's roughly 10 acres. Three megawatts of energy at Fort Meade being consumed. The report shows that 36 megawatts will be consumed in the Utah Center. Now, they're not going to shut down the Fort Meade facility either. It's going to still be ongoing.
Now, has anyone determined, is this going to be run by satellite, or are they going to use the cable TV system, or combinations of all the different communication systems?
They wouldn't limit it to just one. Yeah, there'd be all the above tying to this.
Boy.
It's shocking, isn't it? I had the audience tonight, their eyes were big, and many of them were crying when they realized, and I showed slides. It's very hard to talk about this on the radio without visual, props to show. All of this is, again, from Fortune 500 research accounts and such things as Science Magazine. Science Magazine almost does a monthly update on the nanotechnologies. It's pretty much a hot topic in Science Magazine constantly. So, you know, another classic example is shown in Science Magazine is the report from the British company, again tied to our friends at Eli Lilly and Sandoz. The new generation of prescription drug capsules, Don, they're announcing they're going to have these nano chips in the prescription drug. And the story line went on to explain that the pharmacies will all be basically online with this technology, so that, let's say, Mr. Jones has to take his blood pressure meds twice a day, but Mr. Jones is kind of forgetful. He's got a little bit of Alzheimer's starting on. If the prescription that's programmed does not doesn't hit the digestive tract and the saliva of Mr. Jones, but at a given time, the nano chip will send out a signal to the central computer that's monitoring it, which will then notify the pharmacist and or the primary care physician, and they'll notify Mr. Jones that he's got to take his meds. I mean, that's in mainstream Science Digest. So if they can have these nanochips communicate the mere fact that Mr. Jones has not done his meds, well, why much of a stretch is it to have them communicate with the central computer from the neurons of the brain, which control eyes and eyesight and hearing and the ears? Not a stretch at all, not in the least in my mind.
Yeah, it just boggles the mind. What are they going to do, just make a phone call or bring the canine unit out to your house, you know,
yeah,
to force you into compliance?
Well, there was a registered nurse who was also giving a presentation tonight, and she was very very alert and attentive and absolutely stunned by what I showed her. I said, well, you can verify this as an RN. Is it not true that, let's say the H1N1 or really now any childhood vaccine, the syringes themselves are each individually marked with a barcode structure that are in the major controlling computer bank now, and before, say that you get the government freebie on the H1N1 shot, they have you sign a release, of course, and then there's your ID, whether it's a driver's license or social security number, is attached to the barcode for their permanent record that's where, you know, that specific lot number and the vaccine needle itself is registered, that's you. I submit that again is tracking these nanochips. This signing for the vaccination syringe is a relatively new thing, just the last year or two.
Now, you've seen the patents on some of these nano chips or nanobots, whatever you want to call them. Were you able to study anything about their electro or electromagnetic properties?
That's available.
Is that a trade secret?
It's a trade secret, but it just gives generalities. Okay, they do operate. Of course, they put out a pulse that's. I'm not sure how what the actual UHF. Frequency would be, or even the ELF wave receptors. So it's very likely that they're all like a one shape fits all cookie cutter type of structure on the chips themselves. But once they're put into the body, it's, again, very easy to understand that they can give an analysis of the DNA structure and then can basically morph into a living part of the ecosystem inside the body.
Yeah, or be directed externally.
Uh-huh.
Via remote control.
Yeah, once that first report of the DNA base is given back to the main central computer, and then it's Katie bar the door because you're theirs. And again, the technology is such that they can send a specific arcing frequency to create such a disruption of the neurons, and maybe even a tiny explosion as these things burst, And just like, you know, a chain of firecrackers across the neurons of the brain could very well easily cause a massive hemorrhaging of the brain or stroke structure.
Wow. It's, well, I think those of us that can think this through without panicking and being filled with fear can certainly contemplate ways to make this be ineffective. Certainly, I'm sure your mind's already gone there, and I know at least half of my listening audience is already contemplating that.
Well, I'm almost advocating doing the Tiananmen Square, you know, stopping in front of a tank. I mean, you got to almost go out there and chain yourself to the gates to say, you know, no, and protest constantly. I mean, I just don't see any reason why this should keep going. Now, when I talked about this in a meeting on Tuesday night of last week, I was pretty much standing room only in the area. There was a lot of good participation, but there were a couple of people in there that were not into the presentation and were, you know, sullen in their demeanor and basically giving some kind of mean-spirited stares out on our way. And when I finished up the presentation, they were first one out the door to go home. Well, I received a little thing in the mail, this little note says, I heard your presentation Tuesday, and that's, by the way, it was recorded by videotape, and it's been posted on YouTube. If you just go into YouTube search engine and just type TrueOtT, and the presentation is called The Sound of Silence, you'll see it's an hour-long presentation. Mm-hmm. You can see where I just go from A to Z. Well, the little note, I said, I saw you, and how dare you stop this economic windfall to Utah, or endanger, not stop, but endanger this economic windfall to Utah by your false fear-mongering tactics. And it wasn't really a threatening letter, but he said, we are constantly watching you now, and we'll make sure that the truth is told, basically. And, well, I thought, well, that's interesting. They won't debate me. They won't come if they wanted to come and give why it's all so positive, well, I'll be happy to give them equal billing. But then they have to debate what I find out as well. And it's kind of chicken that they don't do this in an honorable way, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is described by them as a financial windfall to the state of Utah. Who specifically are they talking about in the state of Utah?
Well, all segments of it. We're talking about, again, just yesterday in the Sunday Tribune, there was a whole, you know, cover story and this data center and all of the contractors and subcontractors that are lining up getting these bids awarded in, you know, 1st of March. And, you know, many of them are very, very excited about the trickle-down economics. And many of them are Utah-based companies that are building this. So an infusion of $1.7 billion and a major construction job is very welcome in this economy right now, especially in Utah, where we've lost all these high-tech NASA jobs in the state right now. So, yeah, I can see the angst of the Oakland construction company, which is basically one of the, you know, the major primary contractor there, but they're selling their heritage out for a mess of pottage, I submit.
Mm-hmm.
Because these Federal Reserve notes or bank transfers they're going to get paid with mean nothing if there's everybody's under the hypnotic master Cray computer.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, that money becomes the issue here, you see. You're talking about potential to murder millions of people, but their pocketbook is more important right now.
Right, right. And so...
It's a never-ending story, isn't it?
Well, I go back to that old B-movie. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, with Rowdy Roddy Piper, They Live.
You know? I just watched that movie over the weekend.
Did you?
And Soylent Green, too.
There you go. Two good ones. But you know, when they go into that that secret meeting, you know, where everybody's singing their praises, and the old guy that's part of the camp, and he's all joined up with them, he says, "What's wrong with joining with them? We all deserve a break financially. These guys have it going on." Remember that part?
Yes.
And that's what I'm hearing here with these. And I just think it's really coincidental that here we're starting this protest movement, and within, you know, just days, on Sunday, there's a whole main article countermanding any, you know, any potential negativism. Just, man, this article just reeked of propaganda, Don. It was how wonderful and Utah would have all of these high-tech, high-paying jobs. Because we're not even talking, you know, it's a $2 billion contract for construction. But they're going to be hiring who knows how many thousands of workers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, boy, gosh, that's fantastic. Don't talk bad about it.
Well, I'm wondering if we can develop some sunglasses for this.
There you go.
To get ready for it. And then, well, you know, I recommend people watch that movie, They Live, and then as soon as you're done watching that, put on Soylent Green.
And, old Charlton Heston, he's on it.
Oh yeah, and Edward G. Robinson, he was good in that movie.
And but, they go get the remake too of the movie 1984, and just watch those three movies together, and then your brain will be fried.
Oh man. Well, now I'm going to be on your show tomorrow. We're about out of time here.
Oh, golly, yes. It's gone by fast.
That's for the listeners that are interested. That's on Republic Broadcasting Network, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 to 3 Central, noon to 2 Mountain, and 11 to 1 Pacific Time. For anybody that would like to listen, at republicbroadcasting.org. The name of your show is The Story Behind the Story.
I believe we'll be joined by Dr. Mike Castle as well. We'll have a pretty good three-way trialogue going. Dr. Mike always has great insights, as you know, and he's great to talk with. So, yeah, we'll have a fun discussion on a number of subjects, not the least of which I want to cover is the Mars colony. I think that'll be fun.
Okay. Well, looking forward to that. And in light of who is professing to have been chosen to establish a colony up there, I think it's going to be interesting.
Oh yes. Yeah, we'll have a lively discussion. I'm sure this will be fun for Dr. Castle as well.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to it, and you're on with us next week. I'm also looking forward to that, so I want to wish you a great night and all the peace of mind that you can have in light of what you've been uncovering lately.
And same to you, Don. You're doing a fantastic job, and you're right on point. I sure appreciate all you do as well.
Well, I appreciate that. For the listeners that are possibly going to miss that show tomorrow, you can listen to the archives at Republic Broadcasting Network. And you can sign up for them. Of course, you can always sign up for the archives here at bbsradio.com as well. Sign up for Evident Footprints, and you get everything else on the whole network at no charge. Can't beat it. True, I'm going to say goodnight and let the listening audience know that tomorrow night my special guest will be Mr. Cannadacci. On Wednesday, I will have Ingrid Castle from the Idaho Observer. So you're not going to want to miss those two shows. Definitely going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints, along with blogtalkradio.com. And at BBS Radio, I'd like to thank Seth. Well, let's see. Now, is Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight? I'm not sure. Don Newsom, I know, is on the sound. And I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. All the listening audience for tuning in. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. And have a good night.